Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about how the industry hires watchmakers. So, a lot of you guys, actually a couple of you guys, you guys are watchmaking students and you guys messaged me. Some of you guys also asked how the industry currently accepts watchmakers. And it's a very, very good question in the sense that not much has been, if you look online, not much is really said about how the industry hires them. And I feel like this is a great, great episode to kind of talk about that. Currently, in the industry, watchmakers, first off, let's start off with the fact that there's really only two ways to get into watchmaking. It's either you apprentice or you go through traditional schooling. Having said that, assuming you did one or the other, okay, currently the highest in the hierarchy for hiring a watchmaker right now is word of mouth, believe it or not. Word of mouth will get you very, very far in watchmaking world, simply because the industry is so small. A lot of people almost everybody knows everybody through one watchmaker or another, through different families or whatnot. And if you go down the tree long enough, you'll find that everyone knows each other. And the very first one is that people who know each other and vouch for one another is exactly how a lot of these watchmakers get jobs. If you're coming from a different country, you're coming from a different state, if you know someone that know someone, they can usually hook it up, and that's the main biggest one. The word of mouth is, I cannot stress this enough, and I'm not saying you have to be like a social climber or whatnot, but just network and keep your options open, keep in close contact with your instructors or your mentors, or even just on Instagram, Facebook, start building a connection with some of these watchmakers, and who knows, right? You can probably, it'll probably help you out in the long term. In terms of that schooling, there's another way the industry also hires, right? So instead of you looking for a job, sometimes the industry comes to you. Okay, sometimes depending on what school you're coming from or depending on how good a watchmaker you are, there are some schools who actively hunt. There's some companies, there's some brands that actively hunt for top level watchmakers. So some of them will call the schools and some of them will ask them, and in general they will look for the most brightest person in the class or whatnot, in terms of creativity or sometimes even just level of serviceability, right? And that's one way. Another way is getting your resumes done and doing the traditional route, of contacting these companies, contacting these brands, asking if they need a watchmaker or whatnot. And it's, believe it or not, it's really, really, it's really unfortunate. It's kind of like looking at like a college degree. Sometimes some schools, sometimes some companies, they look at it like, do you have any certifications? Do you have any specific background, schooling or whatnot? It's the best way I can relate that to is if do you want to hire someone with a business degree, or do you want to hire someone that has created a business and is thriving? Or that's the same equivalent to either you being a watchmaking school graduate, or if you just literally apprenticed under a watchmaker and you just been working in the field the entire time. Of course, there are some similarities or whatnot, but that's the most. Sorry if that lagged a little bit at the end there. I got interrupted helping a coworker with a watch. So forgive me. Anyway, back to what I was saying. The next one essentially is headhunters. So what we have covered already is essentially word of mouth being the highest in the hierarchy, knowing who to talk to, knowing who to help you out with personal connections, schooling. A lot of this industry now calls schools to find out, you know, who are the brightest and best students at the moment. You also have the traditional schooling route, where you can, when you apply for jobs and stuff, use your credentials as a watchmaker or a graduation certificate or your watchmaking certificate. And those are the current ones we have right now. Another one is headhunters. Believe it or not, in the industry, outside of the brands and outside the manufacturers, you have authorized dealers and you have a lot of these bigger service centers that are not affiliated with the brands or whatnot, but they're service centers in the sense that they employ watchmakers to repair watches, right? Excuse me. And these are generally they'll use something called headhunters, right? You can apply to those. You can look for these jewelers and stuff like that. Look for one that's been in business over 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, preferably. You want to see a track record. Okay, for these guys, the bigger up you go, for the most part, they won't waste their time seeking you out. They will hire headhunters to look out for qualified watchmakers. Unfortunately, headhunters and watchmaking, headhunters are at this point, they're used to these high tech fields and stuff like that. Watchmakers, on the other hand, if you listen to the Breakla podcast, you know, is very, very low tech. So one of the biggest things I usually tell watchmakers to do is to get on LinkedIn. It's very, very simple. Get on LinkedIn, just apply for LinkedIn, put in a basic profile, put in as much as you can when it comes to your watchmaking description, put in your location, okay? And for the most part, headhunters will seek you out this way for the most part. Headhunters will go on LinkedIn almost 85 to 90% of the time. They'll go on LinkedIn, or at the best 20% of the time, they'll ask for word of mouth referrals, right? So they'll ask current friends, or they'll ask current people, or they'll message everybody on LinkedIn asking if anyone's interested, and if they know of anyone that would be interested in the position. So headhunters are another big one, especially for authorized dealers or large service centers. These places will hire headhunters to seek watchmakers out. And when they seek watchmakers out, they'll contact you if they see your profile matches their description. At the end, at the basic foundation, they want to see either a graduation or they want to see a certificate. They want to see that you have experience. You know, they want to see just a regular, you know, job profile at this point. They want to see that you have experience. That's very, very important. And for the most part, when they seek you out, they'll shoot you a message. So make sure you don't have that sent to spam or whatnot. You know, LinkedIn is one of the easiest ways for watchmakers to get hired. I've been approached many times through that avenue. And listen, if you're a watchmaker and you're not on LinkedIn, you better get on it. Especially if you do want a different job, or if you want more job opportunities, or if you want different positionings, you know, these places are great for watchmakers to go to. another radical, okay, another different approach that's really been out there lately is Instagram and Facebook. You have no idea how much work you can get from Instagram and Facebook as an independent watchmaker or as an aspiring watchmaker. If you're on Instagram and Facebook, I mentioned this in my book 100 plus no BS watch tips many times. If you haven't checked that out, you probably should. That'll probably help you out a lot. And I mentioned this in the book in the sense that, listen, if you're a watchmaker or you're an aspiring watchmaker, document your journey. Keep a journal. Make your Instagram and your Facebook your journal. You know, make it don't think that you have to post something to teach, okay? You don't have to post anything to teach. A lot of people, when they start Instagram and Facebook, they say, oh, I have to have something to say, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to. As a aspiring watchmaker or as a current watchmaker, you don't have to. You can literally just document what's on your desk. You can journal. You can write about your day. Just put it on Instagram, put it on Facebook. Of course, be mindful of what you say and whatnot, but put it up there. Be yourself, be genuine, whether it's good or bad. Let's say you have a bad day, post it up. You know, what made you have difficult problems? You know, what was easy for you today? You know, post it up so that there's a track record, okay? So when I say Instagram and Facebook as an avenue for watchmaking positions and stuff like that, it's because your traditional resume is only a sheet of paper. It doesn't truly reflect who you are as a human being. So when you're posting your stuff on Instagram and Facebook, employers and people and customers and prospects, you know, they see this as an avenue to you. So they see this as a true reflection of who you are, because this is what you genuinely put out, right? So if you can show a systematic progression of you starting out on your journey to you where you are right now, that'd be cool as hell. You know, imagine that. Imagine Bill Gates documented his first day to where he is today. Imagine Warren Buffett. You know, imagine Steve Jobs. You know, a lot of people would pay. You know, they would pay to see that. So just keep that in mind. Like, if you look at my profile, if you look at my Instagram post, you can see the progression from when I first posted to my progression today. And I'm not the best. You know, sometimes I have shitty days and I'll post about my shitty day, or sometimes I have a bad experience and I'll post about it too. But the whole point about Instagram and Facebook is to be yourself and put your best foot forward and just journal and document your journey the entire time, right? And in doing so, you will have people who are interested in it. You will gain followers. You will have people who are interested in what you're talking about and what you're saying, and they enjoy your journey as well. This is why vlogs and this is why podcasts and all this stuff are great. If you listen to my first podcast episode to now, you'd notice a pretty big difference, right? Not that I'm any better, but at the end of the day, you can see the journey. You can see the progression, right? And people appreciate that. It's an authentic side to see someone start from the beginning and seeing where they are now. So if you keep that in mind, that's very, 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 very important. Whether you're a watchmaker, aspiring watchmaker, watch enthusiast or whatnot, do it. You know, don't post wrist shots, don't post wrist rolls or whatever the hell. Post meaningful content. Post something that is genuinely you, right? Don't do it for the likes, don't do it for the followers, just do it because you want to document your journey. You want to look at each post you put out and look back at a year or two, five, 10 years from now and say, oh, okay, so this is where I was at here. And in doing so, believe it or not, you have no idea how much customers I get, prospects and people messaging me on Facebook and Instagram to service their watches and whatnot. At this point where it's booming, you know, it's just too much of a direct message and whatnot. And honestly, the industry is, the watchmakers are so low tech that if you do even get on Instagram and Facebook, you're already halfway there. You know, that's just the brunt of the legwork. Just get on, post, and eventually, like, I have friends where, I had watchmaker friends where she lost her job, and she, because she was originally documenting her journey, she lost her job, and she got another job right away because of her Instagram and Facebook accounts, you know, because of her posts and stuff. And when she lost her job, she posted about it, and there was immediately many DMs to hire her because of what she could put out and because of what the track record she has out there, right? So when someone's able to see your progressive history and stuff like that, and your journal and your journey and your documentation, it beats the living hell out of a freaking resume paper. That's the best thing I could say for you guys at this point. And so with that being said, you guys, this is just a brief excerpt of all of this, for the most part. But that's how the industry currently hires watchmakers. You know, like I said, the word of mouth is king, you know. So let's say, I don't know, I know plenty of watchmakers that work for top-end brands, top-end manufacturers that don't have a watchmaking degree. And they got in because of a word of mouth referral. Facts. And these brands will train you. They'll train you in-house. They'll train you out. You don't need a watchmaking certificate at that point. You don't need a graduation certificate. You don't need a whole step degree. You don't need all this. So there's flip sides to everything, right? So at this point, just be yourself, network, post on Instagram, Facebook, get on LinkedIn, and don't burn any bridges, you know, at this point, unless you really have to. But hopefully this helps. hopefully this clears up a little bit of the cloud in the industry for you guys. And if there's any specific questions you guys have, please send them in again. Don't be shy about it. Just send them in. If you guys haven't checked out the book yet, 100 Plus No BS Watch Tips, I would do so. If you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, I would also do so. And other than that, hope you guys have a great day and enjoy the sunny day. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.